Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Newly developing two Trump legal cases, Judge Juan Merchan in New York criticizing the timing of Donald Trump's recent request for a delay of his criminal trial in the paying of hush money to a porn star. He's ordered that the former president seek permission before making future motions so close to jury selection in about 2.5 weeks. And lawyers for columnist E. Jean Carroll say they are monitoring Mr. Trump's statements as the former president repeated the same defamatory statements that initially landed him in court days after an insurance company put up a $91 million bond for his appeal. Another Trump statement on Medicare and Social Security getting criticism from the Biden campaign.
There is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting.
That to CNBC Today. An emergency meeting in Jamaica with Caribbean reps about what to do about the gang violence that threatens to overthrow Haiti's government. This is ABC News. A nightmare aboard a Boeing Dreamliner from Australia to New Zealand, ABC's Trevor Ault.
A LATAM Airlines flight. Passengers and crew were sent flying to the ceiling.
It felt more like an earthquake rather than turbulence.
Lucas Elwood and 272 on board.
Everyone was terrified. There were people injured all over.
The Chilean-based airline saying it deeply regrets any inconvenience and discomfort this situation may have caused, saying the aircraft experienced a strong shake that's now under investigation.
The FBI has raided a scandal-plagued federal women's prison in Dublin, California, east of Oakland. Agents seized computers and documents. A long investigation into sexual abuse. Five prisoners have filed a lawsuit against the Bureau of Prisons. One of their lawyers is Laura Brown.
They didn't feel that it was safe for them to accurately say what they knew had happened because they feared reprisals and retaliation.
The prison warden was relieved of his duties today. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common Sense Investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
The John and Gordy Show.
In Central America, sweet potatoes were domesticated at least 5,000 years ago.
It's good to domesticate a potato. You gotta tame those.
Domesticated potatoes.
Really have to tame them. They had to be a little bit more friendly to humans.
It's a great band name, Domesticated Potatoes. Write that one down.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college in Wisconsin is closing its doors. The University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee said Monday it will close its branch campus in Waukesha after the spring semester next year. The Universities of Wisconsin blame falling enrollment, changing demographics, and budget constraints. The presidential campaign returns to Wisconsin this week. President Biden will take his message to Milwaukee Wednesday.
He's focused on preserving democracy in this country after insurrectionists stormed the Capitol and tried to overturn the free and fair election results, restore Roe versus Wade after Donald Trump appointed Supreme Court justices that overturned it, and keeping the greatest American comeback story going.
White House Communications Director Ben LaBolt speaking to ABC News. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers release Aaron Jones. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL free agency, the Packers making several surprise moves. They will sign Raiders running back Josh Jacobs. The 26-year-old has been explosive at times and worked with Packers special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia when the two were with the Raiders. They then informed 29-year-old running back Aaron Jones he's no longer with the team. Jones has been with the Packers the past 7 years. GM Brian Gutekunst calling him last month the heartbeat of our team.
I think, we're working through all those contacts. That's part of this, and we just got the cap number. whatever. So now we're kind of like, you know, looking at all those things and how it fits and what's going to be best for our football team.
The Packers also releasing left tackle David Bakhtiari and inside linebacker Devondre Campbell, saving them $40 million off the salary cap. They then signed New York Giants safety Xavier McKinney, a four-year deal worth $68 million. McKinney played for Alabama and was a second-round pick for the Giants in 2020. Packers safety Darnell Savage Jr. is moving on, signing a three-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows in the low 40s. For tomorrow, more sunshine than clouds and mild. Highs upper 60s and low 70s. On Wednesday, a little more cloud cover around and highs into the middle 60s. Rain ahead for Thursday. Currently, it's 56.
I'm John.
I'm Gordy.
Join us for the John and Gordy Show 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
Right here on WMDX Mad Radio in Madison.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night post-Oscar festivities. I missed a text earlier. Our question tonight is, what did you think of the Oscars? You could just give us broad strokes, or if you had an upset or a complaint or something you loved, let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-752-CIVIC. I missed a text from Jim earlier from Appleton, who said, I had pretty much a movie weekend also. I saw Dune 2 on the Marcus Ultra screen on Saturday. Then I watched Black Adam on Netflix. I don't know that movie. Do you know that movie?
The Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
DC.
DC, right. Yeah. And then, see, that's good that I have Ben here. He can fill in all the blanks when I don't know what I'm talking about. And he says, I enjoyed the heck out of the Oscars show. Yeah, me too. And we've got, speaking of awkward actors, this is from Andrew from the 630. In addition to Pacino, in general, I like how they brought out five previous winners to say something nice about all the nominees.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was cool. He says, some presenters were awesome. Others were just so awkward. I mean, there was a lot of cheers in between, but I really liked that, too. I thought that was really...
It's smart, too.
I thought all the actors who can be a little hammy, as we know, they were all... very respectful, and they put the focus on the nominee as opposed to themselves.
It was really good. You get a sense of how much the industry, they care about each other.
Yeah.
Right? It's like how they, they care about the craft.
Professionalism. So, yeah. Absolutely. And then Steve from Florida says, regarding this year's Oscars, I enjoyed Ryan Gosling singing I'm Just Ken. That was very funny. In his now famous pink suit. Don't tell Conrad, but I'm whoops. Sorry, the cat's out of the bag, Steve. I'm trying to buy that same suit for his upcoming birthday. Oh, man, are we going to have fun with that one?
Yeah, Gosling has great range.
Like, yeah.
They were saying, he probably has the most range in Hollywood. He can do Sirius and he can do Ken. And he does Ken.
He did
like,
La La Land, too.
Right?
He's a very talented guy. And then this is something that Ben asked me before. Who is the youngest Oscar winner ever that's won multiple Oscars? I said Emma Stone. Because I always go for the actor, but he said Billie Eilish. She's got two, and you say she's 22?
Two as of last night at 22 years old.
Good Lord. Yeah. She's won two Oscars at 22. That's insane. And that was Paula. She says she's a great singer. Conrad's mom says, I'm glad she won the Oscar. Me too, Paula. That was really, and it's cool that it was her brother that was her accompaniment on the piano, too. I like that. That was really nice. Hey, so before we play some Oscar trivia, Ben, did you really play Aaron Rodgers at trivia?
Yeah.
How did that? Did you crush him or?
Well, I think the impressive thing was that I beat his team, and he had like a team of eight people, and it was only me and one other person, and so he was impressed by that, and so he later went up to one of my friends, who he was playing with. He told one of my friends later, it's like, that Ben guy is pretty smart, huh? It's like, and it's like, as we know, I think probably Aaron's Achilles. Oh, that was honor. I didn't mean that.
Careful.
Like, right, his Achilles, other than his actual Achilles, his Achilles heel is.
Achilles trivia here.
Yeah, his Achilles personality trait, now I'm being maybe too frank, is probably like he always thinks he's the smartest person in the room, right? That's probably his Achilles.
Comes across that way, yeah.
Right, that's probably his Achilles heel.
But he has to be smart enough to know that he's not.
Right? That's
a defining... Yeah,
right. So it's pretty... Right. I was like, oh, if Aaron Rodgers said I was smart, I did something.
Because he's really good at football.
No, he's good at football and usually will not think that other people are smart. Right.
Couldn't that be that he had weak links on his team? You got eight guys.
He had a couple of PhDs on his team. He had multiple PhDs on his team, yeah.
So he's that competitive. He went out and recruited a team of crack trivia. That's crazy. And you still won. That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, all right.
A little shine has come off of that.
Yeah.
since that happened. You know, it was a little more impressive 2 years ago, maybe.
This might be a silly question, but are you a straight A student? Or were you a straight A student?
Yes and no. I mean, it's like in high school, yes. In college, I went to a place, Swarthmore College, where the motto on the t-shirt is anywhere else it would have been an A.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like we took pride in not having grade inflation. Okay. So Swarthmore, yeah, famously. So no, not at Swarthmore. I was like an A- student at Swarthmore.
Okay. You know what I took away from that? You and I are basically intellectual equals.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we both went to schools that didn't inflate our grades. You, because that was their policy, and me, because there was nothing to inflate, really, or there's lots to inflate. So, all right, are you ready for a little round of 2024 Oscars Jeopardy?
Oh, 2024, I watched, so I should be okay.
Okay, well, we'll see. Just don't get too cocky, Ben, because, you know, you're on the radio now. This is not live TV.
My Jeopardy's not live, so this is live is more pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I was going with this. And do you want me to ask him in Jeopardy just as a tune-up, or does it matter how I ask the question?
Just do it.
All right, let's start with an easy one. Who won Best Supporting Actress this year?
That would be Randolph from The Holdovers.
Divine Joy Randolph, right? Yeah, yeah. Yes, very good. Conrad. A bell, please.
Now
I dropped the bell.
I'm very glad I watched. Very glad I watched.
He dropped the proverbial bell. Okay. Who presented the film for best costume design at this year's Oscars?
Well, that's very memorable. A very unclothed John Cena.
Now, see, that was easy for you, but I was like, everyone I was watching it was with didn't even realize what award he was. It was so distracting. But yeah, that was actually very clever. Okay. this just seems silly because I know you watch the Oscars. Whose social media message did Jimmy Kimmel read at this year's Oscars?
Well, it was a truth social message.
Yes.
And as Jimmy said, isn't it past your jail time? So, President Trump.
Conrad, that was very sarcastic bell ringing. Okay. Robert Downey Jr. won his best supporting actor for this year, for his role in this year's film in 2023's Oppenheimer. How many Oscars has he won previously?
I know he played Strauss. I think he was nominated for other things. I think this is his first Oscar.
You are absolutely right. Yeah. We need better bells. That just sounds so pathetic. That sounds like a bell that's like taking its last gasp of air before it goes to bell heaven. Okay. What two Wisconsin actors both appeared in this year's Best Picture nominee, Poor Things?
Oh, okay. Willem Dafoe.
Oh, we might have done it, Conrad. I don't think so.
Oh, no. So Emma Stone kid's not from Wisconsin. So Willem Dafoe, and then I guess I got to... The only other person I know, and I haven't seen Poor Things because I was waiting for streaming, and then my wife is away right now, so I was waiting for my wife to come back before I watched it. I have to say Ruffalo.
He got it correct.
Oh, thank God. Where's Ruffalo from?
Is he from Kenosha? He was born in Kenosha. But he enrolled in acting school when he was 1.5 years old. And he
clutch.
Left. So, that, no, you got it right. That's, yeah, clutch. That's very impressive. Totally clutch. Who took home? If you were doing poorly, I'm not even going to ask that. What? Okay. Let's see just how closely you watched, Ben.
Oh my, who won? Pretty close.
Who won the award for best film editing? You can Google it if you want.
Oh, no. I know it was for Oppenheimer. It's a woman. It was her first nomination. As you noted last night, she had the shortest acceptance speech.
You read my tweet?
Which is appropriate for an editor.
Yeah. All right, I got to give you that just based on that alone. Jennifer Lame.
Yeah, if you gave me like 10 minutes, I probably...
You probably would have gotten it, yeah. Do you remember, since we're on a roll here, I don't expect you know any of these, but Best Sound.
Best Sound is... No, that was the German movie, right?
Yeah.
The Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest. Yeah. And a friend of mine tweeted, he goes, one wardrobe malfunction and everybody would have seen John Cena's Zone of Interest.
Right? He must have been wearing something just in, under just in case.
There's too much at stake.
Yeah, too much at stake.
Hey, this has been really fun, Ben.
That's it.
No, stick around.
No, I've got hungry.
So you're hungry. Okay. So that was all a show. You get the showbiz thing right away. He knows. Ben knows the drill. He's been on Jeopardy so many times. Where do they film that in L.A.?
Culver City.
Okay.
Yeah, Culver City's
the Sony lot?
Yeah, Sony lot. Yeah. Culver City's really changed a lot. Yeah.
Has it? And now you went to UCLA, so were you up? You were up in Westwood. How long did you live out there just for the grad
8 school? 8 years. Yeah.
8 years. Where ultimately your academic dream? Where are you teaching, and are you able to do your own total curriculum? What's your academic dream of a gig for you?
Yeah, I think there's the dream you have is probably not actually the dream, right? So I think ultimately, right? If you wind up living your dream, you probably haven't learned enough, right? Because it's like before you get into it, you don't know what the world has to offer, right?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Yeah, like I do.
I haven't expressed that in the most elegant way.
No,
right?
But I get what you're... And you don't really know what you're up against either. Yeah. And it depends how young you are when you're having these dreams, you know?
So, like, I think my dream was, like, much like the experience I had in undergrad, where it's, like, you're sitting in a... It's like Dead Poets Society, right? It's something like...
Or like in the Holdovers,
It's like Holdovers, Dead Poets Society, right? And that's, I think, still the dream, but it looks... You know, the story that's going to be told 20 years from now when people are nostalgic about, you know, education that's happening now, it's going to look different from that, right? So the dream is to be something that's worth remembering, right? That probably seems right.
That's right? Very well said. And next time you come back, I'll brush up on my philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have a little talk.
I'll prepare some questions for you. You can prepare some questions for me.
You're going to crush me. But I'll do my best. I'll try to hang. You've been a good sport here. And I appreciate your time. Come back and let us know how it went on Jeopardy. We'd love to have you back.
It's
a lot of fun.
Do you mean that?
I really do mean that. We're Facebook friends now, so neither one of us has anywhere to run. Yeah. So, all right.
I enjoyed myself. This is good. It's less pressure than, you know.
Than Jeopardy?
Than Mino, you know.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I can't keep up with John either. So
intense.
Come back soon.
He's so intense.
Good luck tomorrow, buddy. This is great. That's Ben Chan. He is check him out tomorrow night on Jeopardy.
Guy's got to relax a little bit.
It's the fun.
A little too much caffeine.
He's still ripping John Mino. I love it. I'll defend you, John. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
This St. Paddy's Day, if you want a pot of gold, list your home with the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
Excuse me, kind sir, but it's not Paddy's, it's Patty's, as in Patrick.
When selling or buying with Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you'll get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes. We like to say that movetomadison.com is kind of like a pot of gold.
Ooh!
It is the number one site for leprechauns to search for new homes this St. Paddy's Day. Visit the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
The John and Gordy Show.
When they speak up, people respond to that, react to that, and they may not react very well to that, and they may even dispute it and may argue and debate with them. And they're making up all this stuff about, you know, being silenced and censored. They want to avoid the consequences of their ideas. Live with the consequences of your thoughts, of your ideas, and grow up.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Boy, that was fun. How cool would it be if Ben Chan just went on to be like more Jennings than Ken? I'm truly rooting for him, and such a nice guy. I hope he crushes tomorrow. So check that out, Jeopardy, tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, however you watch it. Ben said I should get rabbit ears for my TV, so I guess I might have to do that. I guess they still make them? And I will have to go out and get a pair. Just so I can watch him annihilate his competition. But a very fun guy. Great having him on. Let's check the text line here. We got our question tonight. And I love when you guys get involved in the show. It's so much fun. What did you think of the Oscars? Do you have a problem with anything? Did you love one of the winners' speeches? Were there horrible moments for you that you had to stomach? You can share it all with us. I'd love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know. Chris Foran is coming up in about 10 minutes to talk about the Oscars. And we're going to talk about... I saw every film but one. I did not see Past Lives. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I chose to watch May, December instead of Past Lives. So I could have watched all of them, but I chose to spend my time with a different movie that I had heard great things about that was also Oscar nominated for best screenplay. And I'm glad I did. It was a very good film. I highly recommend May, December. Good film. Conrad, so we played the Simpsons thing. Terrence Howard, you know what I want to, here's a question. Thora Birch turns 42 today. It's her birthday. As I understand it, when the movie American Beauty came out, which is a great movie, she was 17 and she did a scene where she was topless and her dad had to sign a waiver for that to allow her to do that. He was her manager and her father, more importantly. And her mother was an adult film star and maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe they just weren't hung up on stuff or nudity or whatever. But man, I got to tell you, I don't know that I would... That's a tough decision. I don't think I would ever do that. I want someone's 18. You don't really have a choice. But did you ever see that movie, Conrad, American Beauty?
I believe so. I'm thinking.
Good film.
Yeah, I think I did see that.
It had creepy Kevin Spacey in it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, now I definitely remember it.
So the creep factor in that movie was not Thora Birch's dad signing a waiver. It was Kevin Spacey all the way around, but...
Have you ever seen the Family Guy version of it?
Of American Beauty?
Yeah.
No.
You need to watch it. It's hilarious.
Oh, you got to send me that link.
I definitely will. That's actually how I found out about the movie. I watched the Family Guy version. I was like, this is an interesting movie. Okay, let me watch it.
You know what? When that came out, I think I was like 25 or something. And it's a good film, but it's like this guy going through this thing that I couldn't relate to at all. Is like a mid 20 something. I'm like, okay, he buys a car and he's got a crush on this girl who's younger. And it's just, I don't know. I liked it. I can't remember if it won that year or not. I know it was nominated for Best Picture. I thought it won. But anyway. So, and Christy has someone in her family who is a mortician. And I can't believe I didn't know that until today. We could have had them on to discuss the very special National Funeral Director and Mortician Day. I would love to know how people spend that. So Terrence Howard, as I mentioned, is one of my seriously, I think he's such an underrated talent. He was on the show Empire, and he was in the movie Hustle and Flow. And Hustle and Flow, he's like this pimp who also, I think if I remember correctly, it's been years since I've seen it, but he's also trying to be a recording artist or producer. But he has such a great voice and such a cool look. I like him in everything I see him in. And the sad thing is, if you asked me to name five things he was in, I couldn't do it. Because he hasn't been in a ton of stuff. He was great in the movie Crash. He had a great scene with Ludacris. And he's great in Hustle and Flow, where he's like the lead. And he's in the show Empire. But let's play that clip, Conrad. Terrence Howard. This is Terrence Howard in Hustle and Flow.
See, man ain't like a dog. And when I say man, I'm talking about man as in mankind, not man as in men. As men, well, we a lot like a dog. You know, we like to piss on things, sniff when we can. We get a little pink heart on the way they do. And we tattoo it, you know, we gonna protect our own. But man, he know about death. Got him a sense of history, got religion. See, dog, man, dog don't know about no birthdays or Christmas or Easter Bunny and none of that shit. One day God gonna come calling, so you know they going through life carefree. But people like you and me, man, we always guessing, wondering, what if, you know what I mean? So when you say to me, hey, I don't think we should be doing this, I got to say, baby, I don't think we need to be doing this neither, but we ain't gonna get no move on in this world lying around the sun licking our ass all day. I mean, we man. I mean, you a woman though, but man.
That's Terrence Howard. Really kind of an interesting film. Gritty. It's one of those movies like where when you're watching it, you almost feel like you can smell the movie.
That's interesting.
It is. It's like this humid. I can't remember. I think it's set in like Louisiana or something. And it's just like looks sweaty and yeah, it's a gritty film. It was a good film. But he's such a phenomenal actor. He turns 55 today. So we covered all the birthdays. Johnny Knoxville, are you a Jackass fan, K-Man?
You know, I was when I was younger, but now it's just like, I just can't watch it because it makes me like cringe, you know, like.
The stunts?
I think my favorite thing was Bad Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Where he plays the grandpa in and right. Does those stupid stunts, but yeah, I can't watch them today.
Okay, I have a quick story about Jackass, because I feel like I'm not like an elitist when it comes to art or anything. Like, I laugh just as hard at a dumb comedy as I enjoy a serious film. But my son and his friends and two neighbor guys who are like a little bit younger than me, a couple dads, we had a group of like 11 people. And I wasn't looking down my nose at the film, but I was like, oh, whatever. I'll go to take one for the team. Be a pal. The movie started, and I think the first gag was this giant parade float type penis walking down the street. And from the moment the film started, I could not catch my breath. I was laughing so hard. And even in the moments where the film like quieted down, the whole theater heard me catching my breath. I was like ashamed of myself, but I also didn't care. It was a whirlwind of emotions going through me. And sometimes they were all, the people in my party were all laughing at me at how hard I was laughing because I was the judgmental one going in. It's so stupid and so silly. But if you just want a dumb laugh. Now that same group watched those films over and over. I can't do that. I've seen it. I've been there. I don't need to see it again. I got it. All right, coming up next on Nightlight from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we'll talk more Oscars with Chris Foran. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there that probably alone.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Newly developing two Trump legal cases, Judge Juan Merchan in New York criticizing the timing of Donald Trump's recent request for a delay of his criminal trial in the paying of hush money to a porn star. He's ordered that the former president seek permission before making future motions so close to jury selection in about 2.5 weeks. And lawyers for columnist E. Jean Carroll say they are monitoring Mr. Trump's statements as the former president repeated the same defamatory statements that initially landed him in court days after an insurance company put up a $91 million bond for his appeal. Another Trump statement on Medicare and Social Security getting criticism from the Biden campaign.
There is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting.
That to CNBC Today. An emergency meeting in Jamaica with Caribbean reps about what to do about the gang violence that threatens to overthrow Haiti's government. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The people trying to recall Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss say they have more than enough signatures to force a vote. Donald Trump's supporters in Voss's district wanted him to do more to back Trump's unproven claims about election fraud. They also wanted Voss to remove Megan Wolf from her job as Wisconsin's top election official. The recall signatures were due Monday. The city of Milwaukee is set to receive another $25 million from the federal government to make sure the Republican National Convention goes smoothly this summer. That brings the total amount of security funding for the event up to $75 million. Lawmakers in Washington signed off on the additional funding Friday. The RNC is expected to draw thousands of political junkies to Milwaukee this July and could need as many as 4,500 cops to make sure everyone is safe. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The John and Gordy Show.
Here's the real question. Okay. Do noodles belong in chili?
That is a really good question. That is.
Boy.
Only sick and twisted people add noodles to their chili.
You really have an opinion
there,
Sam.
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah? No noodles for Sam.
No. Okay. If I wanted noodles, I'd have spaghetti.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, do you want noodles
exactly.
with your spaghetti?
Drawing a line in the sand now. Okay.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows in the low 40s. For tomorrow, more sunshine than clouds and mild, highs upper 60s and low 70s. On Wednesday, a little more cloud cover around and highs into the middle 60s. Rain ahead for Thursday, currently 54 degrees.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Calling all visionary leaders, change makers, and soulful CEOs who are on the edge of your next leadership evolution. It's time to release any lingering chains of expectation, raise the floor on your standards, unleash the authentic leader within you, and expand your brand impact. Unleashed Live is brought to you by SoulSeed LLC, where they facilitate transformation by creating an environment and experience that supports you to embody greater authenticity and step into expanded leadership, supported by practical strategy. Join Amber Swerner, transformational leadership coach, business strategist, and founder of SoulSeed Strategy, based in Madison, Wisconsin. SoulSeed LLC is proud to work with the mission-driven leaders, visionary thinkers, heart-centered service providers, and businesses not always included in traditional business environments, who do business differently. Join us April 4th and 5th for Unleashed Live. Register now at soulseed.com.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down,
welcome back.
Down, down, and the flames went
so higher. Great to have you with me on this Monday post-Oscars. We all have the Oscar blues, I'm sure. 364 days until we get to relish in the idea of movie competition again. So tomorrow night on the show, this is very exciting. A good friend of mine, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, will be here, and Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. And I'm sure Rob and I will continue to talk about the Oscars, maybe even a sneak preview for next year's Oscars. We'll see what happens. Trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a man fast becoming a Nightlight bestie and the entertainment reporter, one of the entertainment reporters from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran. Chris, welcome back to Nightlight.
Thanks for having me, Pete. Congratulations on surviving the Oscars. Always.
You know what? I have to say, it wasn't that traumatic. It was not, it really kind of wrapped up quickly, but it was not that, it didn't seem that long anyway. Did it to you?
No, a little context. For years, we would cover it live at the paper.
Oh.
We had like a squad of people. We would do like cover the fashion and do all that stuff. We don't do that anymore. But the thing that was always hard for us is we'd have to kind of white knuckle our way to the deadlines because they would go so long.
Right.
And everybody complains about how long the Oscars are. They're pretty much the same every year, but they always say they're going to be 3 hours, and they're always about 3:15, 3:20. The Grammys always say they're 3.5 hours and they're about 3 hours and 40 minutes. But the Oscars, you know, it's just bad marketing is what it comes down
yeah.
to. So it didn't bother me. I actually thought it was short. It reminded I was flashing back on some Oscar history, the very first Oscars, and I can look this up and I forgot to do it. I want to say those televised, the first televised live Oscars were like 1953 or something like that. And they were almost 40 minutes short. So Jerry Lewis was the host and he basically winged it for 40 minutes.
Oh, God.
Which could have been that. See, we could have had that. That would have been much worse.
Well, it reminded me last night, too, of when David Letterman said, everyone line up single file and come up and get your Oscar and we can all go home.
Yeah. You know?
They didn't like him, though, when he was the host. I thought he was great. But I thought just the first thing that comes to mind when they were trying to keep it to a certain length with that Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer. Dear God, when they did that whole Chippendale number, there was nothing remotely even amusing. And I thought at least they're both excellent actors. The acting was even bad through that. That was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I it didn't work. I always feel like there's a couple of those that, and everybody has their own ones that didn't work. I was stunned to see how much blowback the John Cena thing got. When he came out in that nudish suit. To do the costume design thing. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. I was disappointed I didn't get to see the David Niven clip that when the streaker comes out, because David Niven has a great comeback to the saying how disappointing is the guy has to come out on national television and reveal his shortcomings. But and you can find it on YouTube. It's really worth seeing. But
that's great.
Off the top of his head. But what I thought was interesting is that one of the reasons I think it was not as long as it might have been is they had only one segment that was not about the show, was not about giving out an award or about think like the songs were all there. It was the thing with Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling about tribute to stunt people.
Oh,
and it really became a back and forth diss about Barbie versus Oppenheimer, which is very funny.
Yeah.
The one thing that I was puzzled by the entire show is that there were all these people on there clearly designed to promote movies they have coming, like Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, who were in the movie The Fall Guy in May.
Right.
And the trailer actually looks pretty funny for that movie. And that's why they were there promoting stunt people, and they never mentioned it. And that happened again and again. Like Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo were there. They're in Wicked
at
the end of the year. And I think there were maybe only one or two trailers in the commercials during that. That was
right.
Kind of weird to me.
That was weird.
I thought it was a fine show. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. I It's weird. I remember recently reading they're going to add more awards, there are more categories. And I thought when they started talking about the stunts, I'm like, oh, is this, do they already do that? Like, but then, yeah, you're right. It was just like this weird video. What was the blowback, Chris, to the Cena? I didn't read.
Well, there were some people who were offended, you know, because really? He's a new guy on the stage. And people look for things to be offended about with television, Hollywood, and, you know, every year the in memoriam is there's massive amounts of hand wringing. And I think I read a story of one of the trade publications. This is actually the 30th anniversary of the in memoriam segment. And the first year it was 3 minutes long.
Oh, really?
And, you know, so they only did about, they decided who they're going to put in and put out. And, you know, it's not, you couldn't do all of it because it would be the 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And, I thought, having said that, I thought it was the way they did it was really puzzling because at least at home you didn't see half of them.
That was weird, wasn't it?
It was oddly done. Yeah. Our music writer Piet Levy, who was much smarter about these things, and I noticed.
Oh, he's great.
Because you could barely see them. That the musicians that they had playing included Sister Strings, which was this great music duo from Milwaukee. Violinists, and they tour with Brandi Carlile, and they played with Joni Mitchell at the Grammys this year. And but you couldn't see him. You had to really look for him. And it was odd. It was oddly done. And then of course there were people who were left out, and so people were upset, you know. And that's seems to be the reason it's part of the show now, is to have something that people can be focused on to be mad about.
Right. It was so strange. It was like when they were showing all the names and you couldn't really see them. Right. I was like, do they know they're broadcasting now? Was this just for the people that were there and they didn't mean to put it on the air? Or was this such an odd thing?
Yeah.
It was weird. Did you have a favorite speech, Chris? Acceptance speech, maybe, or anything that grabbed you there?
It's hard to vote against Divine Joy Randolph. I mean, it was,
she was great.
Obligatory, you know, human moment. Robert Downey was one of the people who has to cover all of these all year, saying that he's been the MVP in the entire circuit, that he's been consistently given the best speeches. And I thought his was pretty good. I was surprised at how little politics there was. I don't have a strong feeling about it either way. I think it's, you know, it doesn't bother me, but I understand why some people get turned off by it. I'm sure if Mark Ruffalo had won, we would have heard more. That's what he does. That's what he does. He's passionate about it. And he's, you know,
I have to say, I was rooting for him. I finally saw Poor Things. I've been paying $20 a pop for at least three of the movies. And then the day of, they released Poor Things on Hulu. So I got to watch for free.
Right?
Yeah. On Hulu. And I loved it. I mean, it's weird. But it's funny. Yeah. He is really funny in that. And I was rooting for him, but I understand why Downey won. No problem with that either. But Mark Ruffalo was phenomenal.
Well, that's true almost every year when there's like, you know, somebody will say, how did this person not win? And I almost always will say, look at the one that won. Look at the performance that won. Almost always. Sometimes it doesn't pass that test, but Downey is amazing in that part.
Yeah.
He's there, the subtlety in that, you know, and I had one of the, the fact that it was, there were so few surprises. One of the few that I didn't get right was I had picked Lily Gladstone to win Best Actress. I could see why, but you could see why Emma Stone would get picked.
Yes.
Because she's literally in almost every scene. She's nearly every scene. And she literally is creating a person over 2+ hours.
Right.
And I mean, the Lily Gladstone's part, what's great about it is the subtlety in the performance.
Totally.
And sometimes that's hard to choose when it's, you know, when it's something big, it's hard to choose against that.
Yeah. Her face is so expressive. And maybe we talked about this before, Chris, but she's so, I love an underplayed performance like that. And I think it's a talent shows the range and your depth as an actor. But, I was pulling for her and then I saw Poor Things and I was like, wow. Like, what Emma Stone had to do, like you said, and then all the nudity and all those scenes she had to do. And I was like kind of hoping she won, you know, cause she was that good. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you couldn't not have her win.
Yeah, and I mean, there are occasional wins. Usually the best picture category is the one where this happens, where the movie that wins, you think, well, that's embarrassing, you know, and right. and that's not going to hold up well, you know. And you were talking earlier about American Beauty. When American Beauty won that year, it was a big deal. The movie was a really big deal. And I remember seeing it at the Oriental Theater here in Milwaukee, and people stayed after the movie ended and were talking about it. You never see
that. Oh, really?
And but now it's fallen way down the depth chart on best picture things, partly I think because of Kevin Spacey, but his whole obsession with an underage girl gets, you know, we look at that differently than we must have in 1999.
Yeah.
And with good reason, you know. And you know, it's the same way like Gone with the Wind has had that problem too, you know. And
yeah,
and, you know, you can't ignore history, and you have to look at that context, but that doesn't mean it get less creepy. But I think all, you know, there are so many performances this year that, you know, that they all belong there, you know. And I've said this before, this is a really good year for movies. I mean, the fact that if I had a top 10 list for the year, I would bet 7 of them were movies that were nominated, which is unusual.
Yeah. Chris Foran is my guest from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking Oscars here. It's interesting you say that. I said earlier on the show, I really binged watched the last 2 days. I had 3 movies to watch to get to all 10. Yeah. And I decided not to watch Past Lives because I ran out of time and I opted for May, December. And I don't know if I wasn't in the mood for subtitles or what, but May, December was really good too. Did you see that, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. You know, I actually, this might be my best year ever. I think I missed one of the animated movies because it hasn't played here.
Oh, wow.
Or isn't on streaming yet. And I think I missed maybe one or two of the foreign, the international films. I would have, you said when you miss was Past Lives. Past Lives is possibly my favorite movie of last year.
Okay. It's still on. I was going to hopefully try to watch it by tonight, but I didn't get to it.
That one and Anatomy of a Fall, for me, were the best movies I saw last year.
Yeah, I liked Anatomy of a Fall. I liked Zone of Interest in terms of movies, foreign movies that were nominated for Best Picture. But
right.
Someone recently said that they thought that the Zone of Interest was like amazing visual art.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, me too. That was a great way because I didn't love it as a movie. It was horrifying and really interesting with the sound effects from the. In fact, I think that won Best Sound, if I'm not mistaken. And
it did.
You could totally see why.
I often look at the, like, especially Best Pictures, people will ask me about them, and I'll say, you know, I think of movies that I can recommend to people with almost no reservation, and movies that I can't. Like, I'm not sure who I would recommend Poor Things to. I think you have to know that you're in for a little bit of a ride, you know, and it works that way. I liked it. But, you know, and Zone of Interest is similar. I mean, that you kind of have to know it isn't. A lot of people were wary because of the subject matter, but it isn't just the subject matter. It's stylistically, it's different. And it's impressive. I think all these movies, you know, even I was not a big fan of Maestro, but even that, all of these movies were made by people who knew what they wanted to do and did it. And I've seen enough movies that don't do that. So, you know,
And Maestro I was the same way. I watched it and I was kind of like, that's a movie. I'm sure Bradley Cooper was like, well, if I'm not nominated for an Oscar for putting on this makeup and playing this guy, and he was really good, but I didn't love the movie, but it was definitely, I felt the same way with Zone of Interest. And I just, it was funny though. I was watching Poor Things last night and I had gotten through all those scenes where they're having sex with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
My daughter, she's 18. She goes, can I finish the movie with you? And it was just where she had sort of become more intellectual. I go, yeah, sure. This won't be weird. Well, it got even worse in the second hour. We were both like, okay.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. We've got more Oscar talk coming up with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Next on Nightlight, this is Pete Schwabe and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
What do you think of when I say the blues? Turns out the Madison area is home to a longtime active group of blues music enthusiasts. Formed 30 years ago, the Madison Blues Society offers events and education for everyone. Here's Society President Steve Porter.
Blues Society is a vehicle for people to support local blues, both musical events, musical performers, just spreading the word on the blues to the younger generation, to the public in general.
Longtime Society member Sherry Davis explains why the blues means so much to her.
It moves me. It's real. It speaks to me. And I feel like it's a way I can express myself.
Learn more about the Madison Blues Society and check out some upcoming events at madisonbluessociety.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back. Got a few more minutes here with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are talking Oscars. Putting a button on the, Chris and I both agree it was a really good broadcast. So if you have thoughts on the broadcast, you can still chime in and we can read your text. It's 855-752-4842. Chris, we talked about Emma Stone. What about Cillian Murphy? Were you satisfied with that? That was a pretty good win, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Emma Stone. He's in almost every shot, you know?
Yeah.
And he becomes that, what, you know, he makes you believe that that's who the guy is. I mean, Jeffrey Wright is great in American Fiction. Another one of my favorite movies from last year.
Yeah. It was great.
Lovely movie. And Paul Giamatti, you know, it's kind of the character he plays, but he's still really good in that movie. And another movie that I think people who liked it really liked The Holdovers. And I thought,
yeah,
you know, there was some talk that he might be the one who would win. It's hard to fault the choice. I mean, it's not
right.
It's not certainly not an embarrassing choice. And he's kind of Oppenheimer's kind of a prickly character. So it's not like, you know, you love this guy. Right. You don't necessarily want to give him a hug or like get too close to him, but he's, you know, but that he makes him a real human, I think was hard, especially in a Christopher Nolan movie, where Christopher Nolan works really hard at keeping distance between the movie and his audience. I think.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an iciness to movies like Inception and Tenet but he gets great performances from the people who are really good. I mean, everybody in that movie was great. Emily Blunt was really good.
Robert Downey, Florence Pugh. Yeah, Downey, absolutely.
I mean, Downey's a great actor, and just people kind of forget, you know, because they see him in an Iron Man suit. Although I think he's very good in those movies. You know, that whole universe doesn't exist without Robert Downey. But
yeah.
I think it's a good choice, and it's one that'll hold up well, I think, historically.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting you said that about American Fiction. As much as I liked it, it's one of those things where I go, I don't think this is going to win Best Picture. I don't know if it just wasn't big enough or what, but it was a really nice family story with some good humor in it. But it just, I don't know. It's neat that it got nominated, though.
Yeah. Well, I think some people got either not turned off, but it's easy to get lost in the subject of the movie. And what's really great about that movie, the subject is great. What's really great about that movie are the relationships between the lead character and his brother and his mother and the people in his life and how he's trying to sort out through this midlife crisis thing, which about 30% of American movies are about midlife crises of men. I don't know what that's with that. But I think when you get past that stuff, that's the same thing with Past Lives. Past Lives is a very small movie in that way, but the performances are so great, and they aren't dealt with in a way that you would, it isn't movie typical in a lot of ways, but it's not shiny. It's not flashy. The performances are honest and true, and the writing is fantastic.
It's great. It's a really solid film.
here, something that jumped out at me, Chris, when I was watching was, wow, these commercials are so much better than the Super Bowl commercials. Like, there was a lot of really cool ads last night, and I wasn't expecting that, you know. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did. Well, I know they sold out the commercials this year.
And, do they not usually?
They said they did, although the first four of them were for things that were owned by Disney, so I have my doubts. But, you know, Hulu, you know, or ESPN or some, or a Disney theme park, or I think it's a different audience. I think it's a more focused audience too. I mean, Super Bowl is aiming at the world.
True.
And the Oscars has a little bit more of a demographic, although the ratings were up slightly from last year. And as much as people love to complain about it, you know, there were the 20 most viewed shows last year in 2023, 18 of them were NFL games. The 19th was the reality show that ran after the Super Bowl. Ugh. And the other one, which was at number 15th, was the Oscars. So, still, I mean, it's not to where it was like in 2019, but it may never get to that because television watching has changed, you know. And I mean, I'm always stunned by the fact that people watch it the next day, but they do.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't get that, but they do.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree that what you said earlier was just a great year for movies. Like all the Best Picture nominees that I saw, I really liked. I mean, it's not like I watched one of them and I said, I don't get that. But did anything surprise you last night? Any someone you thought would win or didn't win that you thought would, or a film?
Well, I did a really bad thing this year. I read a lot of the experts on this stuff. Okay. And they were all pretty much in the same place. And I thought that Lily Gladstone would win. I had thought that the Spider-Man would win the animated. Would win the animated category. But I mean, it's Miyazaki, you know, Hayao Miyazaki, by acclamation, the greatest animation guy of our time, winning is not exactly an upset, you know.
Right.
And it's weird even by his standards. It's a very spiritual movie and crazy things going on, and sometimes that throws people off. But
I'll have to check it out.
I'm sure somebody somewhere is saying, "See, this is why superheroes are dead." You know, but that's not how this works. You know, but the predictions had been that Oppenheimer would win eighth. Then the eighth one it was expected to win was Sound, which went to Zone of Interest.
Oh, okay.
But Zone of Interest. But you and I both talked about that Zone of Interest. The Sound is a character. I mean, if Oppenheimer had not won an original score, that would have been a disgrace because there is no movie that relies on its score more than Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it was bold, no question. I mean,
it makes it an intense and tense movie.
Yeah. And, hey, Chris, thanks so much for your time tonight. This was fun.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
Anxious to hear your thoughts, and I hope we can do it again soon. Certainly before next Oscars. Yeah.
Okay,
buddy. Have a great night. Thanks, Chris. That's Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Check out his stuff. Yeah, great writer, and love reading his stuff. Definitely check it out. We've got just another minute here. I'm going to read. We got Steve. We got, Conrad's grandma says hello. She didn't watch the Oscars, but thinks Conrad has an Oscar-winning voice.
Thanks, Grandma.
The fix is in. From the 608, Donna in DeForest says, Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy presented the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. I assume their bad repartee was supposed to be a joke about sticking to the script and not trying to wing it. Were they being serious? I'm with you, Donna. I hope not, but who knows? Great text. Great text as always from everybody. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Ben Chan and Chris Foran. Another fun night here at Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hi, it's Maggie Dawn. Tuesday on my show, I'm going to be talking about Representative Nancy Mace. What a disgrace!
The John and Gordy Show.
In Central America, sweet potatoes were domesticated at least 5,000 years ago.
It's good to domesticate a potato. You had to tame those.
Domesticated potatoes.
Really have to tame them. They had to be a little bit more friendly to humans.
It's a great band name, Domesticated Potatoes. Write that one down.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.